If you look around at all the friends and partners who you've let into your life, and you discover there's kind of a high proportion of cruel or selfish people, or people who bring trouble and danger into your life, guess what? Your red flag detector is broken. It's broken. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible, and those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. It's supposed to be sounding the alarm when bad or dangerous people try to walk into your life. And this goes for bosses and jobs, too, and places to live. You're supposed to get a bad feeling, an aversion to soul-sucking people and situations that are toxic for you. What shuts down that crucial function is abuse and neglect in your childhood. It's not your fault that you got wounded like this, but now it's you and only you who can start healing that red flag detector. And it's got to be a healing priority, because as long as hurtful people have a way into your life and your heart, you're going to be vulnerable to getting re-traumatized and stuck in the old patterns that you have worked so hard to change. Now, how does that happen? And how do you heal it? I want to drive home the tremendous cost of having no filter on who gets into your life. Because what ends up happening is, where people who love you are supposed to be, you end up with people who are not that connected to you, or they're incapable of loving and caring for anyone. They take over that space, right, where caring people are supposed to be. Or you end up with people who are just plain using you. And then the people you need to be able to depend on, which everyone needs, they're not there. So what happens when your detector is broken is your life ends up riddled with very, very broken people, and people in the end who are, they're going to leave you more wounded than you are right now. And everything good that you want in life depends on shutting the door on destructive people and making room for supportive people. Now, I know about this because I've lived practically blind to red flags. I did it for a lot of years. And for me, the problem was like a runaway train. Have you had that? It builds momentum. It starts out slow and then it gets faster and faster over time. It doesn't go away by itself. The more bad people get into your life, the more your boundaries just fall apart. And then even worse, people get in. And each time it sucks a little more of the life out of you. Your red flag detector is crucial. If you're going to be happy and heal, you will need to learn to quickly recognize people who are not good for you. And you can't do that so long as your detector is broken. Now, luckily, you can bring your red flag detector back to life, and I'll show you how. So red flags, the signs that unhealthy people give off that signal that they're not safe, not what they appear to be, or not emotionally available, sometimes they will tell you the red flag in words right to your face. In the context of dating, this could be something like, "Just to let you know, I'm really not looking for a relationship." That is a flashing red light, right? But have you ever ignored it, thinking, "Oh, they probably don't mean it. I'll change them." There's a terrible price to be paid for that. Some people tell you this after you've already slept with them, and had they told you it up front, you never would have even dated them. And this leaves you in a terrible situation, deciding whether to show them that you're hurt and angry, or just pretend everything's fine, and you didn't want a relationship either anyway, you know, to try to act cool. This is a double red flag. They're not available, and they manipulated you by hiding this fact until it was convenient for them to tell you the truth. Have you ever just gone along with this kind of manipulative rejection, which is lying, and still hope that somehow they'd see the goodness in you and come around and love you anyway? That's how powerful CPTSD can be. It can distort not just our thinking, but our hearing and what we see right in front of our eyes. Now, sometimes the signs are more subtle, and you have to listen for them. You have to test the waters. Healthy, tuned-in people notice these signs, and they respond appropriately. They don't open the door to manipulative and dishonest and unavailable people because, for the most part, they can smell it a mile off. There are exceptions, of course, but this is the level of perception that is often damaged by abuse and neglect in childhood. We lose the ability to accurately read those subtle signs, and we get ensnared, and we find it hard to get disentangled. Have you ever met somebody new and you were really excited about them? And then when people who love you and care about you met this person, they had that kind of like puzzled and incredulous expression like, what is she doing? That's a sign of their red flag detector working when yours is not. And I've done that. And the worst thing is, on some level, you know that this friend or boyfriend or whatever is not good for you. But you know how people say that phrase, once you see the truth, you can't unsee it. Well, with CPTSD, it's amazing. We get very good at unseeing. We see it, then we forget we saw it. Not only can you blank out in the moment and not remember what you said you never wanted to do again, you will not make this mistake, but your memory of why that's a bad idea becomes inaccessible to you. You honestly think this is an okay situation, and this kind of going blank at the worst possible moment has probably led you to make one bad decision after another. What's happening goes into that black hole of non-awareness, even though going blank in that way at that moment is like the worst thing that you can do. So why on earth would anyone do something so self-destructive? I'm going to tell you some reasons, and you can see how many of them apply to you. All right. The first reason is you may be struggling with brain changes that are common for people who were traumatized as kids. Blanking out about harsh realities is often called denial. And for those of us with trauma, it's not a character flaw. It's a neurological injury. It's caused by abuse and neglect that can make it very hard to process and remember information that is stressful for you, that brings up strong negative emotions. So every time a stressful choice has to be made, your higher thinking functions might falter a little bit, or they might even switch off, and they just leave this space for impulse-driven decisions, emotional decisions. People who don't have severe trauma struggle to believe this is even possible, but traumatized people know exactly what I'm talking about. We sort of come to and wonder, how did I make this exact same mistake again? So it's not always conscious, but it's not always denial exactly when we put our head in the sand around threats and danger. For some of us, it's how we adapted to trauma. When we were little, we had too much exposure to chaos and fear. Do you remember that feeling? Hearing your parents fight, seeing drug use or violence, being told everything's fine when anyone with eyes could see they were not fine. Witnessing your parents not keeping things safe for everyone, but putting everyone in danger, or not telling the truth. It's so damaging, especially when you're a kid and you can't do anything about it. So in addition to whatever involuntary brain shutdown might be happening, you may have learned to turn off your good sense and your perception about what's okay and what's not okay. And then you got so good at it, you didn't know how to stop. You taught yourself to override your own natural instincts, and maybe you're still doing it, shutting yourself down when you're afraid, feeling confused, and wondering, is this bad or is it just me? And when you do this, you're not actually being brave. You're not conquering anything. You're just numb. And you might learn how to look like you're okay, and you might even learn to be okay on a lot of levels, but what's missing is the good kind of vulnerability that you need. It's gone. And what is that vulnerability? It's you being able to feel things. So when you lose that, what else do you lose? Your ability to know and sense the intentions of other people, to detect threats. People can abuse you and you turn your vulnerability off, and with it, your ability to judge it, engage the situation, and make the decision, this isn't right and I'm getting out. Now, checking out like that didn't start as a bad thing back when you were in the middle of some abusive situation, when you were powerless to stop it or get away because you were a child. Getting numb when you're powerless is a way up and out. Numb is protection. Thank goodness we were numb, or we could have been much more gravely damaged by what happened to us. In a weird way, numbness was a way to shield our little spirits from what was happening to us and all around us. And that's what one of the lovely parts of trauma healing is you recover your full self, even the aspects that had to be set away for safekeeping until it was finally safe. But without healing, going numb in your life today when things get tough means someone who's no good for you appears and you can't feel it, the danger signal, or you feel a craving for companionship and love so strong it's drowning out the other feeling, which is telling you, run. Another thing that impairs your red flag detection is dysregulation. We talk about that a lot on this channel, and this is a common symptom of past trauma, where your nervous system reacts to stress by getting a little out of sync. For traumatized people, it can happen at the drop of a hat, and it can be hard to get back from. For some people, it's always going on, making it hard for them to be fully aware or fully in command of their thinking or emotions. And it can make you react too strongly, or it can make you, you guessed it, go numb. So when something is intensely frightening, let's say you're in a car with someone who's driving crazy because they're angry, and you get so frightened that you're flustered and overwhelmed, can't put your thoughts in a sequence enough to even ask them to slow down, or you can't use your hand to get out of the car as soon as it stops so you can get somewhere safe. You're not in denial exactly, and you're not numb, but the kind of quick thinking and power to take action that you need to get out of the car, you can't access it. It's like a bad dream. It's like you see that red flag, but you can't act on it. And that can happen with dysregulation. And if you want to work on healing that, I encourage you to check out the links in the description section below this video and all my other videos, because I have a lot of resources for you. What I want you to know is that dysregulation is real. When something sets it off, which we call a trigger, your brain waves change from a coordinated flow when you're calm to a jagged and chaotic pattern when you're stressed. So your senses and thinking aren't working right. Your emotions swing from too much, coming out in blasts that push people away, or too little. And this is why your red flag detector can really get stuck. And you end up vulnerable to people getting into your life who should not be there, who normally you'd feel repelled by. But there you are with them, like a deer in the headlights, marching toward your next crisis. Another thing that happens, especially when there are unhealthy or manipulative people in your life, is they pressure you to override your natural fears with a kind of, come on, I dare you mentality, or calling you chicken, or calling you a prude or a wuss, or using some sort of woo-woo language on you that you need to be open or in the moment or something, pushing you to do something that you don't actually want to do, that you feel is wrong or dangerous. And if you don't have good boundaries and you grew up denying your own reality, it's fairly easy to abandon your own good instincts just because someone told you to. And where does that get you? Alone, lost, and in danger. Another way to lose the ability to detect screaming red flags is you second guess yourself. If you were abused or neglected as a kid, I'll bet you do that a lot. And you think, did that person just threaten me, or I don't know, it's probably just me. You can spend a lot of time trying to figure out if someone is mistreating you and putting you in danger, or you're just imagining it, or you deserve it, or fill in the blanks. I want you to imagine for a moment how different your life could have been if you'd have been more sure of your perception, if knowing the difference between red flag detection and mere paranoia, which can happen, if you knew the difference between those two states of consciousness naturally, it was easy. That's what you learn to do, to tell the difference, paranoia or red flag, right? That's what you learn to do when you start healing your trauma, and I'll give you some tips for that in a moment. The biggest reason that you end up throwing away your time and the good things in your life is out of the need for people. With CPTSD, that need can be so deep and so unmet, so desperate that you'll basically put up with a bad person just so there's someone to hang out with. Have you ever done that? On some level, you're doing it and you're ashamed of yourself, but when something feels like that, pay attention to it. This is the first step, in fact, to healing that ability to detect problems and danger. I want to give you 4 steps to heal this, okay? The first thing you've got to do is to get clear. Now, how do you do that? You write it down so that you can't get vague about it. What are the characteristics of people who are not good for you? Now, in my course on dating and relationships that I teach, the whole course starts with learning how to get very, very clear about what you want in a relationship and in a partner and what you don't want. Now, the link to that course is down in the description section and on my website if you need it. But to bring your red flag detector back to life, you take this a step further so that you can get clear about who is not a good fit for you, who could hurt you, who could derail your life or put your kids in jeopardy, like actual people. There's what you want, and then there's like, and who are these people in front of me? Name the things that can do that. Things like abusive behavior, criminal behavior, drugs, alcoholism, untrustworthiness, serious psychological problems, emotional unavailability, or inappropriate people, a boss or a professor or a married person, for example. Then you've written down what you know you don't want in a person, and you need to ask yourself, if you were going to do this right this time, how would you more effectively discover if the people you meet have red flags waving? You've gone vague about this before, right at the crucial moment. So how could you do a better job next time? How could you tell if someone was abusive? They might not act like it on the first date, right? It might take time, but you'd see other signs like how they treat animals or how they treat servers in restaurants. How would you know if someone had an addiction? That's something I used to have trouble detecting in other people. When people have serious addictions, they have to be pretty good at hiding it. And that is what they do. But if you spend time with them without getting all attached to them, you will start to see the signs. You have to get to know someone, and that takes time, and it takes time when you're not already bonded with them. So let's say you go on a first date with someone, and they're great, and they're awesome. Does that mean it's safe to get super intimate with them that day? No, it is not. Not if you have a broken red flag detector. And so my next tip for getting your red flag detector working again is with new relationships where your detector hasn't had a chance to heal and become capable of reading situations, slow things down. Slow is your friend with CPTSD. Slow doesn't come naturally, but it's the way that you can stay conscious during the getting to know you process, not rushing into a relationship or making them into, you know, this person into your best friend or soulmate so quickly. You take your time and you observe how they behave in just daily matters. You could think of it like you have a developmental delay. You're developing the ability to detect problems and danger, and some people learn this earlier. You're learning it now, so let yourself practice by keeping things slow and deliberate. If this is hard for you, get a friend you trust to be your sounding board. Getting out of delusion is like climbing out of a rushing creek. Someone has to be standing on the banks to pull you out. So check in with people who get it. Check in about your intention to go slowly and the list of things that you put on your list that you do want, as well as what you know you never want to do again. If you're like me, you feel shame about the mistakes of the past. And when some little part of you knows that you're screwing up again, you may be tempted to get secretive and just show people the outer niceties and not tell them your concerns or the real problems going on. If you're ready to heal the pattern, have a trusted person and tell them everything and invite them to give you feedback on it. Shine sunlight on the problem areas of your life. All right, finally, a really important thing you can do to keep this healing process moving forward and sustainable so you don't give up when it gets hard is to use my daily practice techniques to clear out the fearful and resentful thoughts and feelings that get generated through change and that gum up your clear thinking and perception. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF, as in crappy childhood fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.